Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
Back on overtime here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. A little bit of short segment here, went long in the first. When we come back on the other side, we're going to bring back best and worst of the weekend before I forget to do that, because we usually do it right now. Not a lot of time, though, so let's hop into one of the other big highlights of the weekend here, something that a lot of us around here were either A, looking forward to, B, absolutely not looking forward to, or C, really didn't care either way. I'm, of course, talking about the Orange and White game. I did go to the Orange and White game with some friends. I mean, it's free. I darted, went over there, let the halftime, because I didn't like it. Thought it was kind of bland.
It was a little boring. I'll give you that. It was.
It is also a spring game. So, I mean, I wasn't expecting much.
What was
much.
The crowd looking like?
I think it looked like crap. I thought it did.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
It couldn't have been worse than Mizzou's.
No, they had
did
about,
you all see that?
They had
did
about
you
10
see,
people.
Did you see North Carolina's?
Yeah, no. It is worse than
North
Mizzou.
Carolina had, like, I think it announced attendance of, like, 1,700.
Wow.
It was bad.
Mac Brown struggling to get people.
It was really bad. No, fans did a good enough job to make it look like at least enough people cared about it. Most of the lower bowl, I would say, like, what, 80%-ish in the lower bowl, 75 maybe. Maybe I'm overestimating.
Well,
when I say
everywhere but the student section was pretty full. Student section was pretty empty.
And, of course, like, there was only a couple scattered people on the upper deck.
Yeah.
I don't know why you did
the
that
weirdos
yourself.
That go all the way up to the top. I don't get it.
You think you get a better view, but you really don't.
I don't know, yeah.
But it was a good enough crowd. Announced attendance a little over 50,000. When you look at other spring game attendances, Tennessee's up there around the top five. So Tennessee fans are always going to at least show out in a decent number to go to the Orange and White game, but certainly not what Pruitt thought he was going to get.
Now, yeah.
A lot of that had to do with weather. You know, it was raining earlier in the day, so that probably dissuaded some people from coming out. You also had the fact that this is a 5-7 team. They haven't really given you anything in the regular season. You know, why give them something in the spring game? Well, a whole lot of other factors. Once it did quit raining, it ended up being a pretty nice day. So I guess people were just finding other things to do. So, yeah, you know, can't really fault them if they didn't come, though. But the white team beats the orange 28-10. You know, really on both sides for your overall offensive and defensive units, you know, nothing too bad on either side. But then again, nothing too spectacular. So I guess what you kind of want to see as far as how does each unit go in a spring game when they're playing each other, I guess that's about the best way you can go, right? You know, the overall first and second team defense didn't get completely torched. First and second team offense, you know, they didn't get dominated.
Yeah.
Each shot had their own highlights here. A couple of highlights here. Man, I guess your overall – did they name MVPs after the game?
Yeah.
JG was the MVP.
JG was the overall
MVP. And then they
MVP.
Had the offensive and defensive.
Did Jalen McCollough get defensive MVP?
No.
Who got defensive MVP?
Well, no, they did.
It was like defensive, like most improved, right?
They did, yeah, most improved defenses during spring practice, which was Batuli. And then offensive most improved was Palmer.
So they get those out in the middle of the game, right?
No, it was after.
Okay. I remember end. Butch used to like
he
give,
used to do
like,
it in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at the very end.
Like I said, man, I turned my attention to the Preds. I only stayed for the first half. I didn't really care what they did after.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm with you. I kind of wish they would have done offensive, defensive, and then overall, but they only did those three. Jalen McAuliffe honestly would have gotten.
Fair
the
enough,
defensive.
I guess. Oh, yeah, he would have got defensive MVP. Talk about this, man. Early enrollee, true freshman getting two interceptions.
Yeah.
Both coming off Brian Maurer, so take that for what it's worth. But hey, give me a young guy showing out there.
Yeah.
And he almost had the first one. I almost had a pick six out of that first one too.
That first one was bad.
I don't want to sound overdramatic, and this might be too soon and me being very excited, but watching it live and then I watched his two picks again today, it looked very similar. His style of play and just like the way he runs and attacks the ball, it looked very, very similar to me to a young Eric Berry. It really did. Just the way he goes up, high and gets the ball at the highest point, the way he eludes defenders, running it back, running
to the end zone.
I'm just telling you. I'm
already doing it.
I'm just telling you. I was sitting there watching, like, man, we've seen this before. So hopefully he can have the same kind of career. But Saturday he looked very, very good.
I'm currently looking at some highlights here. I do remember this early in the first quarter. JT Shrout finding Tyler Bird for a 43-yard gain down the left sideline there. It's nice to see Tyler Bird's name actually get called on the offensive side of the
That
ball.
Was his first pass of the game, wasn't it? Was that long bomb?
That was with 11.5 to go in the first quarter, so yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he came up with a bang. Quaveris Crouch, man.
He was incredible. I know it was against the twos. But still.
He's playing against the twos. I think Jeremy Banks.
Yeah, against Banks. Oh, my God, dude.
But, I mean, you guys still think, I get who he's going up against. But when you see the absolute speed come in between that
and the knowledge
laying the
exactly
wood. Ooh, for a dude who's an early enrollee,
I mean, the last
give me that,
the last so many years the linebackers we've had, they all seem to be lost all the time, and to see this young freshman, one of the first plays of the spring game, to shoot the gap and take down, in my opinion, our strongest runner when it comes to the running backs, just absolutely just knock him off his feet. I almost jumped out of my seat. I really did. But I didn't want to be that guy.
Jared Garantano finishes the day 19 of 37 for 198 yards, 4 touchdowns. Did not throw any interceptions.
Started off very slow.
He did start off slow. The overall offense started off slow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you're playing very vanilla type of football out there. I'm not shocked that they did. So, I mean, maybe you give credit to the defense as well. I'm pretty sure Derek Ansley called all the actual plays on defense.
I would hope.
I think he dialed up some pretty good plays overall.
I think so too.
Great coverages throughout the game here. But yeah, Garantano didn't throw any picks at least. JT Shrout stats. You know, he's your de facto backup quarterback going into the fall. 10 of 19, 138 yards, a touchdown. Then Brian Maurer, man. Had some good throws, but he also had two ugly picks.
He did.
7 of 10, 105 yards, 2 picks.
Bad.
Yeah, his first interception was bad.
The second one was just a great play by Jalen McCullough, but that first one was just really bad.
I mean, it was the receiver was around 3 or 4 guys.
Yeah.
That's one you just throw away or tuck and run.
It's pretty bad.
Try and get 3 or 4 yards or something.
Yeah, you chalk that one up to being true freshman.
Yeah.
That's what you chalk that one up to.
Yeah.
Your running back numbers in the rushing department, not a lot to really, you know, open your eyes at. Tim Jordan led the way. 8 carries for 39 yards. You had Todd Chandler, 7 carries for 32 yards. And then Jeremy Banks also had 7 carries for 24 yards. Leading receiver here was the big dog himself, Jawan Jennings. 5 catches for 57 yards and a touchdown. Of course, Jawan Jennings is going to catch a fade like that in the back of the end zone. All
2 touchdowns.
It's
easy money.
There's some things Jared Garantano doesn't do well. There's some things he does do well. One of the things he does do well is finding a damn good receiver on a damn good fade.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he can still do. Also in the receiving department, Tyler Bird, 2 catches for 50 yards at 43 on one of them. Let's see here. Other receivers with a touchdown to their name. Josh Palmer had 3 catches, 25 yards, a touchdown. Dominic Wood Anderson, 4 catches, 19 yards, and a touchdown. Marquez Callaway, 2 catches for 61 yards.
Mm.
And you had Jaquez Jones.
Yeah.
3 catches for 44 yards. Had a very nice one as well.
Yeah. This receiving core, I think they could, outside of Callaway and Jennings, of course, and maybe you can add Palmer in there. I think this young receiving core, man, I think it's going to be special. I don't know about this year, but you saw what we had Saturday and what they were all pretty much young guys outside of the two big dogs. I think this receiving core with T. Martin and Jim Chaney, if they stick around for a while, I think it could be pretty special.
You have a few units on this team where you're completely confident in, and receivers one of them.
Yeah.
I think I'm very confident in our secondary as well.
Yeah.
You should be confident in the secondary. That's supposed to be Jeremy Pruitt's baby,
exactly.
Is it not?
Yeah.
So that should be shored up already in year two. Yeah, Jay McCollum had the 2 picks, also added 6 tackles. Your leading tackler, Shannon Reed, 9 total tackles.
Yeah, he had a nice game too. Nice game.
That's what I like to see, man. We don't talk about Shannon Reed. Didn't talk about him a lot last year. I don't know how often he got on the field, if any, last year. And you see some of these guys, at least, hey, it's a spring game. It's a scrimmage. But you're racking up some stats.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I kind of wish we would have saw a little bit of J.J. Peterson. I know, you know.
He can't stay healthy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A lot of people have been saying he has the nagging injuries, but I was still hoping to at least see a little bit, but of course.
That's where our own Trey Wallace told us. Trey Wallace of It's Optional, talking to a UT coach himself, saying, yeah, J.J. Peterson, man, he's gotten back into shape from when he first got the campus, but he has a bunch of small nagging injuries. He just cannot stay on the practice field.
I hope that's not his whole career here.
Oh, yeah.
God. I mean, how hard.
It's not a good omen, though.
Yeah.
How hard this coaching staff had to work to just get him on campus.
Had to move heaven and earth to get him here.
I mean, the star, number one recruit for Pruitt's first class, and he can't even get on the field.
Go Vols, man.
Yeah.
That's the way it happens. 865-546-8200. Continue some spring practice talk on the other side, and certainly call us if you'd like to weigh in on what you saw and your thoughts for the fall, thoughts of anything that concerns you. I know there's a lot that still concerns a lot of people. You're definitely not alone in that aspect. But what we will do when we come back, give you our best and worst of the weekend. Cannot wait to bring it back once again here. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Overtime right here on Fan Run Radio. This is news to me. I had no clue how the Tiger was in our folders, but apparently it is.
I didn't either.
We'll run with it, man.
Sure.
Hell yeah, Rocky 3. Woo! Great film.
I thought it was Rocky 1.
No, Rocky 3.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fine, though. Yeah, it's in Rocky 3, the one 82? I think it was 82.
I don't know. I need to re-up my Rocky knowledge. I know Rocky 4 is my favorite.
Oh, well, of course. It should be Rocky 4 or Rocky 1, I think. I don't know. A lot of people like Rocky 2. But Rocky 4 just because...
Was Rocky 2 the one where he fights Mr. T?
I thought that was 3.
I don't know.
Wait. I want to find this out here. I think it's 3, but maybe 2. No, it's 3.
Okay.
Mr. T is in 3, so that's the one not the Tiger's in. Rocky 2 is when he has his rematch against Apollo Creed.
Ah. Facts.
Glad to give you some Rocky knowledge here today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Without further ado, we're bringing it back a segment late, but we're going to get to it regardless. It's Monday, which means it's time for us here at Overtime to give you our best and worst of the weekend. Is someone getting the best?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Who wants to go first?
You can. You're the head honcho here.
Everybody else looked at me to go first, so I guess I'm getting outvoted here. I'll go ahead and go first. My best. I mean, I would say Tiger. And yeah, it was great, but I think that's everybody's best. So I'm going to switch up a little bit. DB, me and you watching the Preds.
Yeah.
Take game two. That was a thrilling overtime period. Craig Smith coming in the clutch, getting one past Ben Bishop of the Stars, and the whole place going absolutely insane, partaking in some gold chants. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice. It was a real bonding experience, and let's hope the Preds don't crap the bed tonight. Be very nice if they didn't do that. Am I worst? Okay. Loved Game of Thrones coming back. DB, no, I'm not spoiling anything. Okay. I'm not spoiling anything bad. You'll probably already hear about it. There's a scene, and this is probably everybody's least favorite scene that watched last night. Jon Snow and Daenerys, they're in the north up there. They went to like some ice waterfall or whatever. They're just having a nice bonding moment scene, and then Daenerys gets them on for dragons. I don't know which one she got on. But then she's like, hey, John, go ahead. I know you're not the mother of dragons, but go ahead and get on this other dragon and ride it. You never rode a dragon before, but go ahead. And they had this long, like, montage scene of them just flying dragons. John's trying to keep up, and, like, oh, of course he's scared because, like, oh, no, I'm on top of the dragon here. What do I do? How do I control this thing? And I'm just like, I get what they're trying to do. I get they're trying to set him up to ride a dragon later in the series, or this season, rather, in some big battle sequence. I understand why they kind of had to do that. I kind of didn't like it, though. Like, the apocalypse is about to come. The Night King's, like, on your door. The Army of the Dead slowly marching towards you.
You're White Walkers, man.
You're supposed to be making battle preparations. But no, I'm just going to ride dragon for a little bit. Act all silly, have a bunch of fun. I didn't like it, and that's my worst.
I'll go next. My best of the weekend, kind of stealing Tanner's as well, was watching the Nashville Predators beat up and win game two against Rick Butler's Dallas Stars. Rick Butler likes to Snapchat DM me some hate. So, hope the Preds can silence Rick Butler. And my worst of the weekend was the FOMO of the Season 8 premiere of Game of Thrones. I started the series today. So far, so good. I am 5 episodes in. But yeah, I had a lot of FOMO. A lot of my friends were gearing up to watch it. And I was like, well, I'm going to go home and start this thing. So I'll join y'all here in a couple weeks.
You got a while to go.
I have a long time, but I have Easter break coming up this weekend. Coming up this week, starting Thursday. So that's where a majority of my time is going to be put into.
It's going to take over your life. I just hope you're ready for that.
I am.
Because that's what did to me. Okay. Cole, you're last but not least.
Okay. Let's see. Best for me. We already mentioned it, but it blew me away over the weekend. Our two young defenders and Corvarius Crouch and
Jalen McCullough.
I always forget his first name. Jalen McCullough. In my mind, in my humble opinion, they played absolutely fantastic. McAuliffe, of course, with his two interceptions. Crouch with the tackles, the way he shoots the gap, and just absolutely tears people's heads off. It made my little heart happy. It really did. I mean,
don't lie. You have a big heart.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
Don't call yourself the Grinch.
It made my big orange heart very, very happy. It made me happy for the future of the program. Will they have an impact this season? You know, probably not, unless they have a big summer. But you never know. But for the future and the Pruitt era and everything we got going, it made me very happy. Worst, we already mentioned it as well. The Missouri and North Carolina spring game attendance. Both absolutely atrocious. I couldn't find official numbers online. That's my bad.
They're probably hiding them.
Yeah, they probably didn't release them. But from what I saw on TV, on Twitter, and on the internet in general, absolutely atrocious. Couldn't be me. Couldn't be my team. Missouri and North Carolina, shame on you.
Did you see the video of Kelly Bryant when he took the microphone and just you could see maybe 5 people?
There was nobody. Yeah, it must have been the other side of the field because there was nobody behind him when he was doing that.
A lot of excitement for Kelly Bryant in Columbia.
All 5 people. All 5.
They're just bummed out because they know they're not going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
It goes. That is the best and worst of the weekend here. Thank you, gentlemen, for your contributions. And just to conclude the spring practice talk, because I mean it's an orange and white game. I don't want to spend too much time harping on it. What did the game like? What feelings did it give you? Did it make you more confident? Did it make you more pessimistic about the upcoming season? A lot of people are really concerned about what they saw on the field, and a lot of people, it didn't really move the needle for them. Right now, if I had a gun to my head, I'm still saying 6-6. I think this team's good enough to at least get back to a bowl game.
Yeah, I think I'm with you as of right now. Saturday didn't really, like you said, didn't really move the needle for me. At first, I was a little disappointed because the offense started slow. The whole game started slow. But as it went on, of course, you know, it got better. But the highlight for me, like I said just a second ago, was the freshman making plays. Even Wanya Morris, I thought he did fairly well at left tackle. So, I mean, I didn't walk out of it thinking, man, we got it this year. We're doing a lot better. I walked out thinking, you know, this is kind of what I expected at this point. This is what I expected. It's what I anticipated. And even when we talked Friday, what we were looking forward to. Do we want the offense or the defense to win the day? I picked defense. I think at first they did a fairly good job, but of course towards the end, first team offense kind of took over. But I still think the defense did fairly well. So yeah, right now I think you're right. 6-6, 7-5 if they can get one game to go their way for the most part. But yeah, I'm kind of right in the middle.
DB,
I'll go 6-6 too. It's just kind of it's a nice comfort zone for me. 7-5 I think is a little bit of a stretch, but
yeah.
It'd be nice. Cole, I meant to ask you, what did the offensive line look like? I know that was a big issue on the show for us last year.
Let's see. First team was Wanye.
Ron Johnson.
Johnson at center.
Was K-Ron Calvert starting or was he second team? I know Tatum was right tackle.
Tatum was right tackle. I want to say Johnson was a guard.
Okay.
I can't remember who the other guard was, though.
Did they look solid?
Maybe Carvin.
Though?
I think it was Jerome Carvin. I'm pretty sure it was.
I think
Carvin.
It was. I mean, they played very average, I would say.
From what I saw, I mean, Wanye was fine.
Wanye was fine. Yeah.
So that at least gives you hope. I think the better players and certainly the more talented players on this offensive line, they're going to be hindered by the fact that they're going to be freshmen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That being Wanye and then eventually Darnell Wright.
Yeah. I mean, the offensive line to me looked average, but you go back to the age-old question when it comes to spring. Well, does the offensive line look terrible, or does the defensive line look great? So I don't know what I'd grade them.
Say that D line was great.
Well, I wouldn't say it was great either, but what they were going up against, I don't know if they played better just because of downplay of that offensive line. But I thought they did okay. I didn't think they were great. I didn't think they were terrible. They're very.
It's like
average.
You did have the D line when. You know, finally you had the offense get down close to the goal line. It was like three straight runs dialed up and they were all stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You had to kick a field goal. Was that just the vanilla play calling by Jim Chaney? Was that the defensive line in that front seven actually stepping up, though?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it wasn't the magic of the play calling. Yeah. I think that was on purpose like that.
Probably. Even though the first team defense lost, well, I don't know if you could say that, but since the first team offense won, I still think the defense played very well. I really do. I just think, I don't know. I don't know how to grade it because the spring game is so difficult because you're going against yourselves. I don't know how to grade it, but I think both sides of the ball played pretty
good. As long as this team is good enough to take down Vanderbilt, take down one of Missouri, South Carolina, please. Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Start there before you
get
these big
Vanderbilt
aspirations.
Because I'm sick and tired of losing to those dorks.
Yeah. You got to at least be good enough to beat them, man. At the very least. And it's sad that it's at that point.
I agree.
That's where we're at right now. 865-546-8200. Be back to wrap up hour number one of overtime when we come back here on Fox Sports Knoxville. This final segment of hour number one of overtime on this beautiful Monday here in Knoxville is brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. McKinney team, longtime partners of Fan Run Radio, and we've been helping them out, and while they've been helping us out with all sorts of different ventures as well, they brought you March Madness live games here on Fan Run Radio. I'm going to tell you about them real quick, about how they can help you, the McKinney team with Keller Williams, to find success with one measurement, and that is client satisfaction. And if you aren't left with a positive experience, then they haven't done their job. The Knoxville housing market is as hot as it's ever been, and you need a team of professionals in your corner fighting for you. Go call them at 865-548-8267, 548-8267, or go online to ZillowKnoxville.com to browse their listings and learn more about the Knoxville housing market. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. Brantman, a little bit of breaking news today. I never saw this coming. Zion Williamson has declared for the NBA draft.
You're
officially.
Joking.
No, I'm not joking. He's officially done it. I can't believe it. The 6'8", the 6'7", 6'8", almost 300-pound tank of a human being declaring for the draft? No. No way,
I didn't see this coming. I really thought he was going to return to Coach K and Duke for one more season.
Man, I thought he was going to complete all 4 years.
I don't think
years,
he's developed enough for the NBA.
Complete his undergrad at Duke? I'm shocked by this, man. Who would want to leave a fine educational institution like Duke University? Yeah, Zion has made it official. Are you kind of shocked he was like the last of the big three to declare out of him, RJ, and Cam?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it went without having to be said. You know, everyone knew Zion was going to the draft.
So why didn't he go ahead and get out of the way? Was he just
I don't know. He came out with this big elaborate Instagram video. I don't know.
Whatever, I guess. Yeah, and then also today, man, I'm sure you've seen the pictures in the videos so far at ADB, but over in Paris, the Notre Dame, I don't know how they
No, I've been engulfed in Game of Thrones all afternoon. I have not been on Twitter.
Burned today. Not burned completely down. They were able to save a lot of the building, but like the main spire, the cathedral collapsed.
Really? How did the fire start?
They're doing renovations. That what the report is that it started due to some accident during the renovations. And so it just started to spread. 850-something-year-old building.
Dang.
They're going to have to.
I'm Catholic, too.
They're going to have to rebuild that. Man, it's. Even if you're not Catholic, man, it just. It hurts to see something like that. Something that's been there for so long. They were able to get all the artwork out. They were also able to get a bunch of other important artifacts.
That's good.
Out as well.
That's good, at least.
So at least they saved that. But yeah, man, tough day for the city of Paris, though. Yep. For sure. 865-546-8200. Be back with the second hour of Overtime on the other side. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. See you on the other side. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray.